Turning now to the preaching of the Word, would you turn with me in your scriptures to 1 John and chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, we're reading the end of the chapter, verses 5 through 10. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. First, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our mediator and our intercessor, who is our propitiation and our advocate with you. We come in His name because He is the one in whom you will listen to our prayers. Only through Him. And so, Father, we come seeking righteousness, seeking holiness, seeking that we would walk in the light and not in the darkness. Seeking that we would thus confess our sins, and you would be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, in these things we cannot have them without your Son, Jesus Christ. And so hear his prayers as he prays for us. And Lord, as he speaks to us, cause the word to penetrate into our minds all the way deep into our hearts, souls, that from the heart the mouth would speak and the body would act and live, honoring lives to you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, these are the words of the Lord. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. That is the word of the Lord. Verse 4 leads us into our passage this evening. It says, verse 4, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Remember, he's seeking to, the purpose of the of 1 John is to give assurance of our salvation. And by having assurance, we have that joy made complete. And so he's saying here that your joy, Christian, with the apostles may be complete in Christ Jesus, the Word of life. Now, John opens up the nature and the character of this fellowship of joy. How do we have this joy? How can we attain this joy? The fundamental, necessary qualification to have this fullness of joy is that you must have the light. Without the light, you will have no joy. The fellowship must be a fellowship in light. Verse 7. Walk in the light. That is our first point this evening. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. So upon what does this joy rest? It rests about the very nature and essential perfection of Yahweh, Jesus Christ. Verse 5, it says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." The message of John and the apostles is a message which is not conjured up. It is not a discovery which was made concerning God, or some inference or deduction. It is none of those things. It is rather, it says here, a direct announcement, a direct communication from Jesus, who is God, who is light, to His people. It is therefore an authentic and authoritative communication to us from the Lord. And you are to accept it as such. That is, to accept it as authentic from God and authoritative from God. John literally has heard this with his own ears from Jesus, as well as the other apostles have heard it as well with their own ears. Yahweh is using a metaphor here, saying, "I am holy, for the light is holiness." God is light. He is holy. He is completely separate than everything else, which is darkness. We're shown the nature of God and the nature of the material element of light. That's what he's using, that material element of light, as a picture to us, a metaphor. Light is penetrating, it's searching, it's spreading itself over all space and entering into every hole and corner and crevice. To the believer, it is a source of relief and gladness, to those who bask in its bright and joyous rays. But first, we must see that the light is clear and transparent and translucent, open always and everywhere, as far as and as free as its free influence extends. Light spreads reality. Clouds and shadows are unreal. They breed and foster unrealities, things that are not there. But light shows the naked truth. Light is pure. And you cannot violate light. When it comes in contact with all things, it is affected by nothing. It embraces pollution, sin. It enters into the innermost recesses and the rottenness in which, as a quote, "worms unclearly revel." And yet it does not change. It is still light. It is not made dark by darkness. There is no staining it. There is here, as we think of its brightness is not dimmed. It endures forever. It is clear and clean. And so now when it says God is light, Jesus being God who is light, when He makes it His own personal and special message to us, we must remember that He is perfectly open, shining bright, is clear, also that He is perfect He has perfect inviolability. He's not violated by anything. We have perfect fellowship with Him, the Holy Lord Jesus. But this God being light means also that in Him there is no darkness at all. The Gospel of John, verse 5 of chapter 1. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The darkness cannot overcome light. And the light itself and Jesus, who is the light, even when shining in darkness, the darkness does not comprehend it. For those who are in darkness, as some here once were, as some here still are, those in darkness, there is not now in you or around you a clearness, brightness, openness in which we were created at first. No sin is entered. And with sin, sin has entered, and with sin, shame. There can be pure and simple nakedness no longer. The clear, open sunshine of the presence and countenance of Him who is light is no longer tolerable. Thinking of Adam and Eve after the fall, the covering of fig leaves, the hiding amongst the trees of the garden from the Lord, are rather preferred to us. Hiding, being in the darkness, is preferred to us. Covering up, even covering our sin, is preferred to us. Light to the sinner is offensive. The unquiet, the unclean soul is like the old chaos at the beginning, Genesis 1. The old chaos which is formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. With that darkness, the darkness of death, he who is light, the light of life, is brought into fellowship. This fellowship is no mere form or name. It is real and actual and personal. He who is light, Jesus, enters the darkness. He who is light is in our stead, in our nature, identified with darkness at the cross. He manifested himself to identify himself with our darkness, that we would have light. Being darkness ourselves, we would have light, fellowship with him, have that fellowship of joy with him. And yet in his identifying with us in our darkness, still there was no darkness at all in him. Because darkness cannot overcome light. There was no concession or compromise of this light to darkness. There was no partial shadowing of the light. Rather, it says clearly, he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. All in him is still clear, open, transparent between the Father and the Son. Even that is so when the Father forsakes Jesus on the cross, the wrath of God upon the Son because of our sin. Even in that dark hour, there is no evasion of heaven's light, no hiding then, no shrinking, no feeling as if truth might become a little less true. Holiness a little less holy. None of that there at the cross. In the open face of eternal righteousness, pure, the Father does not take the cup away from the Son. Between the Father and the Son, it is conclusively proven that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. This being the message of verse 5, we then receive the warning of verse 6. It's pretty clear. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If it is really into fellowship of the light that we enter, if it is in and through the wondrous way of dealing with our darkness in Christ, then the incompatibility between our claiming fellowship with Him and our walking then in darkness is so gross that it gives us the language that we lie and we do not practice the truth. Those two things are not compatible, having fellowship with light and walking in darkness. It is impossible to have fellowship with our great God who is light and yet walk in darkness. Ask yourself the question, what fellowship does light have with darkness? None. It is a lie to think that it is possible that there is any fellowship with darkness, if you are in the light. It is a practical lie. One who thinks and lives in such a way acts out a lie, acts out an untruth. His life is a practical falsehood. What does walking in darkness imply here? All unholy walking is walking in darkness. The works of darkness are works of the flesh. Thinking of Romans 7, Romans 8. They're works of the flesh. The characteristics of light are again clear, open, transparent. Cannot be violated by darkness, but is pure in nature, unmingled. Darkness is opposite of light. Darkness is characterized by concealment and disguise. And so, beloved, is there in you what John is dealing with in these verses? Is there a profession of faith in which you're claiming to have fellowship with the light, with Jesus Christ, who is the light, and yet at the same time, as you profess faith in Jesus, the light who you are living, you are acting as though practically you are in darkness? Then he says, if that is true of you, both of those things, you lie. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. You don't practice the truth. The walking in darkness is itself the lie. The walking is the lie. The acted, the not spoken untruth. You're saying you have fellowship with Him. You're saying that you have fellowship with Him is not necessarily the lie. That's not what John's dealing with here. It may be true that you do have fellowship with Him. Here he speaks of the practice, not the profession, that is the lie. Those who fall into this category, which are all here, under this warning. It is not that you necessarily profess untruth, but you walk in darkness. You're walking in darkness, and in so walking, you necessarily lie. There are times when we can say when we do not pray as we ought, we are not in the Word as we ought, that we ought to be considered practical atheists. We're not living as though God is real. We're not acknowledging God. We're like Isaiah 10 in pride. We're living as practical atheists. We don't live in accordance with our profession. That's what he's warning you about in verse 6. And so now we begin to see the consequences of our sin. If we are not living truly, not living holy lives, not living in accordance with the light, but shading ourselves, concealing ourselves, Jesus is saying, then you are not fellowshipping with me. You're not communing with me. You're not fellowshipping and communing with one another, with the saints. Every time you sin, even in your private life, you are breaking fellowship with God's people and with God Himself. For it is only if we walk in the light as He is in the light that we can have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleansing us from all sin. And now that we've had the warning, he goes right into the gracious assurance in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. God with us, we with God, we with the saints. If we walk in the light, God, Jesus, if we walk in Him, as He Himself is in the light, it says, do you walk in the light as God is? The light of His own pure truth, His own holy nature. He dwells in His own light, in Himself. And so if we are His, we walk in Him. Now you ask, how can I ever walk in that light in which God is? As Jesus walks in the light. How can I face its terrible disclosures and revelations? For the light shows forth everything, reveals everything. But this light searches my thoughts and my heart and my soul. But you may see, if you're married, you may grasp this a little bit more. You see how such a revealing of yourself to your spouse, being vulnerable about various things, opens up the way for a fellowship of the closest kind between you and your spouse. How much more between you and the Lord when you reveal all things of yourself to Him, the Lord, who is light. When you walk in the light. When you are vulnerable before Him and confess your sin, as we're about to see. But even your sin, exceedingly great as it is, even the secret sins, all about you. How dare you? How dare you go forth into that very light so pure and pierce in which God is, into which God is, and yet where else? Now are you to look for Him and find in Him peace and fellowship? And so He encourages you to come unto Him, the holy, holy, holy Lord, who is light, which reveals everything about you. And He reminds you, yes, I am holy. I am the light. And yes, you are sinful and involved in great darkness. But remember, the blood of Jesus, my Son, cleanses you of all your sin. How precious is the blood of Jesus for us. There is a word. This is the word to a weary soul who comes often before the Holy God, who is light. Are you weary? Weary of the darkness in which you've been trying to hide? You're walking. Or cast. You're casting yourself in a different way. Weary of all impostures or lies. The self-delusion, the self-righteousness. Weary of trying to make all evil appear less than it really is. Less evil. Then come and have full assurance that Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you of all your sin. Come unto Him, as He says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and He will give you rest, even as He is the light. He calls you now to walk in the light. The second thing we see this evening is that the Lord is calling you, as He calls you to walk in the light, is to confess your sins. Confess your sins. Confess your dark practices. Confess your lying. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is in opposition to the next verse. To confess our sins. If you do not confess your sins, you are saying, practically, I do not sin before the Lord. You're living as though you do not sin. And that's what He's talking about here. So He says here, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Seems pretty self-explanatory that if we have need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, from all our sin, that we cannot truthfully say that we have no sin. If we say we have no sin, we are in darkness, it says. We're deceiving ourselves. We are in darkness. It goes back to verse 6. The truth is not in us. We do not practice here, speak the truth. In so doing, we are walking in darkness. So, believer, when at first you, being in darkness, the light shined upon you, and you are brought into fellowship with the Lord, there were all the dark places that filled you. The light, the darkness filled you. Once being no light at all. And now light shining in you for the first time. In a dark, deep cavern as it is. And at once you see yourself and all things for what it truly is and what you truly are. And so it was revealed to you, your indwelling sin, that you were made alive in your former dark and stony heart, now made flesh and living. And now how thankful you are about concerning the blood of Christ that cleanses you from all your sin. At such times you cannot say that you have no sin. You're exposed by the light. And you must say with Paul in the revelation of the glory of God and His holiness, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And like him, we must answer, because we have the light. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. That's what John's talking about here. Confessing, professing faith, walking in the light, and yet walking in darkness. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Beloved, we walk in the light as God is in the light, and so we have fellowship with one another. Beloved, are you one who says, "I have no sin"? Are you one who lives as though you're saying to the world, "I have no sin"? It's clear from the Scriptures that from Jesus Himself, that in so doing you deceive yourself. You are lying. The truth is not in you. Some deception is rather than in you. There is darkness in you. You have perhaps sunk fast and into that old natural habit of evasion and self-justification and self-denial. But do not be self-deceived. That is the warning here. But then what great encouragement we have, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous, faithful and just, same word, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a privilege we have in the Lord to be able to confess our sins to Him, to come before the light, even in that remaining darkness in us. To confess sin is to show forth that you are walking in light. If you have found yourself to not be confessing sins often, then it is showing that you have not been walking in the light. To walk in the light means, as you constantly dabble in sin, that you confess that sin to a holy God. For such sin has been revealed through the light. And what great assurance we have. Not only a warning, not only an encouragement to confess our sins, which shows that you are walking in the light. But if we do confess our sins truly, as we walk in the light of Jesus Christ, as we come before a holy Lord who is altogether pure, what great comfort and assurance we have, as He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our great God and Savior Jesus Christ is faithful. He is faithful to Himself. That He is not merely a holy God, He is a merciful and gracious God. And in Christ and His sacrifice for us, it is possible in and through Him to be forgiven our sins. Our case in which we are found guilty, confessing our guilt, our Lord is so faithful that we are cleansed from all, not some, not most. We are cleansed from all our unrighteousness with regard to our sins. We're not just let off with a small punishment, or let off from the punishment that we deserve, and have to no longer answer for those sins. Now, our sins are so forgiven as to ensure that in the very forgiveness of them, because God is not only faithful but just, in the very forgiveness of them, that we are cleansed from all unrighteousness, all unfair, deceitful, and dishonest dealing about them, all such unrighteous dealing about them, either with our own conscience or with our God. The forgiveness is so free and so frank, so full, so unreserved, that it purges us of all unrighteousness. And this is so because it is dispensed in the faithfulness and righteousness of the light. And so in our confessing, it is an opening up of our heart, spreading our case before the Lord, concealing nothing. That's what it means to confess sin. We tell Him of all that is sad and distressing in our conflict with indwelling corruption, with our failures and all failures to conform with His law. As those sinners, we come to the light who is faithful and just, true to Himself and us, so that all untruth in us becomes impossible. And so, beloved, trust the Lord with the secrets of your soul, for He is faithful and He is just. He's keeping covenant with you and mercy towards you. He will not heal you a little, but He will heal you fully. He will not speak to you easy things and make smooth edges and say, "That's not that bad," just to make you feel better. But He speaks as the light, so He reveals fully the darkness. He reveals what is in the darkness of your heart and your mind, your body, everything, so that you may be in the light and have no darkness at all in you, that you may have fellowship with Him, in whom there is no darkness at all. So do not deceive yourself and think that you have no sin, or act as if you have no sin by not confessing your sins. Everyone here sins. Do not be a liar, but come to the light as He is in the light, and receive from this faithful and just God full forgiveness and cleansing of all your sin. But now, as He closes the chapter, verse 10, He gives you a greater warning than verse 8. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. It's not only that we deceive ourselves if we say that we have no sin, verse 8, but that we make God a liar. Not generally that truth is not in us, but very particularly His word is not in us. The assurance of verse 9 opens the way to a very confidential confession on the one hand, and the faithful and righteous just treatment of our case on the other between us and the Father. If we believe at any moment that we do not need this confession and forgiveness and cleansing, we deceive ourselves. We expel the light of the truth from us. We deny the truth. And in so doing, we refuse to trust the Lord, who is faithful and just. If we expel from our minds and hearts the bright, clear light of the truth after all the encouragement which He Himself gives us here and invites us to participate in here, if we should doubt His faithful promises and His justice to forgive and cleanse us, if we should refuse Him altogether and not confess our sin, to prefer now, even for a single moment, or with reference to a single sin, the miserable comfort of hiding ourselves among the trees, putting on the fig leaves, that we'd rather have that than the unspeakable joy of coming naked into the light in which God is casting ourselves into His open arms, in which His arms are merciful and loving and gracious, and pleading with Him to deal with us according to His own loving faithfulness and righteousness and truth in Christ Jesus. That surely is a high affront to the Lord and to His word. You are saying God is not faithful. You're saying God is not just in what you do. It is a great error to Him and to ourselves and to the church of Jesus Christ. So what a dangerous thing it is to not come before the Lord and confess our sins. That's the warning here. And there are warnings, plural, here. If you walk in darkness, if you say you have no sin, you lie and do not practice the truth, you deceive yourself. But not only that, but you make God out to be a liar, and His word is not in you. That is, God's word to you who profess faith in Christ Jesus. That is His word to you now. Come to Jesus, who is the light. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. Come and have fellowship with Him so that you might have joy divine. Come naked before the throne of God, confessing your sin, because He is the light, believing that with great comfort and hope that God, who is the light, has given His Son, Jesus Christ, who is faithful and just and righteous, in order to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. cleanse you of all your sin. And so all who hear with ears, all who hear, come to Jesus and seek forgiveness of your sins and cleansing from all your unrighteousness. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you and praise you for your word here, a word which you do not smooth out the edges, but you very clearly show us that we are liars when we walk in the darkness. That we, even as we do not confess sin as we ought to, we make you out to be a liar. We are saying that you are not faithful and you are not just. That Christ's sacrifice on the cross was not good enough. That his righteous life was not righteous enough. Father, we make you out to be a liar. And the word of God is not in us. That is, we have failed to believe it for what you have said. We have not, in those times, do not acknowledge you for who you truly are as you have spoken it to us. And thus we are like Assyria, we're like Israel, we're like Judah in Isaiah chapter 10, filled with pride, not acknowledging you for who you are. But you are the light. And in you there is no darkness at all. Therefore there is no lie in you. There is only truth in you. For you are the faithful God, the covenant faithful God, the one who never breaks covenant, never breaks his word, never fails to keep a promise. But you always are faithful, even as you've promised here. That if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, that we have fellowship not only with you, but with one another. Communion, true, full communion. And what great promise we have that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And yet there are those promises of warnings here that we should be aware of and constantly thinking about. That as we profess faith in Jesus Christ, that as we believe and therefore have that promise of eternal life, and then we live as atheists, denying you, walking in darkness, that we lie to ourselves in our actions. We deny you in our actions. And so, Lord, we ask that you would produce fruit in us, that you would constantly sanctify us and grow us in faith and holiness and righteousness, that we, through the fruit that you work in us, would be a showing that we truly do believe, that we truly are in the light. Lord, show forth the darkness that remains. For some here, full darkness. For others, some darkness. Or a lot of darkness. Father, shine your light into the dark places of our hearts. And bring us back to you. To your Son, who's faithful and righteous. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.